Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prowse.
And I am Jonathan Fraser. And we would once again like to invite you to join with us on our latest adventure in our Edible Valley.
On today's episode, we are talking with Sarah Walsh from Prontissimo Pasta and Julie Edwards of Call of the Wild Market, local seafood purveyor. After Julie and Sarah, we'll have Hans Peter Meyer come on and talk about the upcoming food events in the Comox Valley. Welcome, Sarah and Julie, to the studio. Nice to see you in here.
Thank you.
You guys have some big news, I guess, coming up, do you?
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
You bet.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Yeah, so as many people in the Valley know, I have a fresh pasta company. And for about 4 months ago, I felt like I had to take a hiatus because I wasn't able to keep up with it. And I have a young family that's growing. So I chose to just close up for a bit and step back and think about how I can somehow keep it in my life and stay also a family woman.
It's a tough battle to run a business and have a family, right? So
yeah,
completely understand where you're coming from with that.
Thank you. So yeah, I was sitting on the fence on what to do, to sell, to partner, to just didn't know what to do. So I've been in touch with various people that were interested and just never felt right to actually sell it because it's like a third child. Mm-hmm. And and so I just wanted to hang on. And in the meantime, my husband and I were able to keep restaurants going. I toured around in August telling all my clients the bad news that I was going to close down. And when I got to Locals Restaurant, I thought, how can I close down? They have their menu woven around my product. So I decided, well, I can keep them going.
Right.
I have trouble saying no. Yeah. So I've managed to keep a couple restaurants going that were with us from the very beginning. And with the help of my husband and my mother for doing childcare.
Yeah.
So that's what we've been doing.
Cool.
And I think I was just always open to something. I kind of told people, just keep coming to me with your ideas. I'm not sure what I'm doing.
Yeah,
right.
And that's where Julie showed up.
Well, I showed up because someone introduced me to Sarah, Carol Popkin Adams, who's a graphic artist and designer. And she had done work with Prontissima and then did work with Nusi Seafood, which is a company that I was employed with in the last year. And she actually really understood the rural connection and the food connection and said, why don't you just drop into the shop? And so I did. And I just really loved it. In fact, I had this thrilled feeling of, oh, I'm in the Valley. This is the place of real food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a place where there's a very small artisan a factory happening.
Yep.
And I manage great big fish plants. That's what
right.
I do for a living.
Right.
And so it was really nice to feel that connection in my home community because I have lived here for 16 years and I've never worked in the Valley. I work in Port Hardy, Euclulit, Bella Bella. And so this is my first opportunity to actually work in the Valley, bringing Call of the Wild and taking the Nusi product from Bella Bella through Prontissima's storefront to the Valley. And I'm just thrilled to be able to do that. Because the weak link for me in the last year, being in Bella Bella for the Nusi product, which is the seafood that we processed, is we didn't have a market for it.
Right.
And it came on so fast and so much of it was so much abundance that we were really ecstatic and happy and got the plant going and all these people working, but we weren't selling it.
Mm. So you've got stockpiles of
I do. I have a lot of crab and a lot of warehouses. So I'm excited to get it out there
and
bring it
absolutely.
Here. And it's delicious. It's so great. So that's what this connection is about. And I think that, I'm not a young mother. I just had my fourth granddaughter yesterday.
Oh, wow.
My
fourth grandchild.
Thank you. Yeah. And I feel really energetic and really able to go out and work in a storefront and would love that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like this is all part of community and this is a great connection in that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Multi-generational.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's basically two companies staying as two separate entities, but partnering together to make it happen for each other.
Right.
Excellent idea.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Good stuff.
And people in Bella Bella will be thrilled too, because Nusi product for them, the box, when you see it, it's a moon. It means moon in Heltsic language. It's it really is something they're really proud of. And they waited a long time to get their fish plant opened again. So we've had 120 people working there doing this product. And I feel like next year we'll have a lot of salmon and shrimp and crab coming this way. So it's exciting. This is the first storefront, and I'm pleased, just really thrilled that it happens to be this storefront, because I think it identifies with what we're trying to do.
And in our community too, which is huge.
Absolutely.
Yes. Shows a lot of the food culture here, that you can bring that product here and it will be successful. Because people appreciate good quality.
We kind of feel like what's better, fresh seafood and fresh pasta together. It's kind of a no-brainer.
It's one of my favorites, actually. And it's the upcoming new menu is going to have a nice seafood pasta on it. So maybe I can partner something in the spring here for the Atlas Cafe.
Sounds good.
And I can eat my weight in Dungeness crab, I tell you that.
Great.
That is one of my absolute favorite seafoods. I mean, I like just about all of it, but if I had a pick, it would definitely be Dungeness crab.
Great.
And that area is actually where I've had the best Dungeness crab of my life, is up in the Great Bear Rainforest area there. Yeah. And I think it was the Kitlope brought up some, so I think that's right. It's been a long time since I've been up that area.
Well, I think something really important to let people know is pronto means ready, prontissima means really ready. So the whole premise basis of my business was wanting busy people to be able to still eat good food. Mm-hmm. And so a pasta dinner with one of our pestos tossed in is a 10-minute dinner, if that. And the beauty of this seafood is that it's all, I should get Julie to explain it better, but it's all clean, it's stable. You'll be able to buy half crabs, as little as a half crab, as many as a case of 9 pounds. But all you have to do is, if it's frozen rock hard and you haven't planned ahead, you can throw your pasta in a pot, throw your crab in a pot, steam it. In 10 minutes, you've got fresh Dungeness crab with your fresh pasta.
Wow. Absolutely. You've said it well. And that's the way I have to eat a lot, because I'm in a hurry. And I love that I could get a sauce that goes, a different sauce for each night. And with the same with the salmon that we sell, it's boneless, skin on, so you can put it on your barbecue, and you can take three different sauces and put stripes. If three different people have three different tastes, you can put some of the different sauces in the different parts of the salmon, and everybody be happy at the end of the meal.
Oh, that's
with
perfect.
Their own taste. Yeah,
excellent. Yeah, I mean, that's how I bring most of my salmon into the cafe, just because I don't have the room to clean it. So it's nice to have fillets in there, and you can just portion them up, clean them up, and you're good to go. So
and I filleted some salmon this weekend. If you can buy it already filleted, it's really handy.
It's really nice when a machine does it, and all the bones come out, and then you just put it in a vacuum pack. And also, what I love about this is the boiler bag concept is a good one for these products that have been cleaned, and then you just have to throw them in boiling water and pour them over top of your dinner, and that's all the natural juices are still in it. And that's really exciting for me, doing the boiler bag thing.
We're actually talking about that on the last episode with sous vide, actually, which Blaine and Drex had never heard about. So, which is basically the boiler bag, but having that precise temperature to cook your fish at, or whatever product you have in there. So it's a neat cooking process. So.
Yeah, and then you know that even though it was a quick dinner and you didn't have time to really cook, you know that everything going into your body is natural and good, and your family's being fed well without a huge cost or a huge time commitment.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, I think we should actually start off and just go into a little bit about Pontissima Pasta and focus in on just a little bit about you, Sarah. How did you get involved into pasta?
Well, I ended up in Europe. I moved there in the year 2000, chased my Irish love, and we ended up spending a few years in Ireland, and then we went, sailed around the Mediterranean on an old sailboat. We sold our house in Dublin, and off we went. So
that sounds rough.
Yeah, it was hard. We're both into food, both love different cultures, and food to me is what teaches you about a country's culture. So we made our way through Spain and Greece and Italy. And I had no idea ahead of time, but we had to go in and out of Italy a few times, and I just really started to fall in love with it. So we kind of had an agreement before we got married. The boat was my husband's love and what he really wanted to do. And I really wanted to spend time living in another country, learning their culture and their language. So I kind of always thought it would be France, because I had a good bit of French. Mm-hmm. But no, it ended up being Italy. And we showed up after 3 years in a little port in Venice. And I probably had 5 words or so. I had enough to be able to say we're looking for a space for our boat. And then a gentleman said, yeah, no problem. And we'd been told by previous Italians traveling on boats that Italians can never say no to your face, but if you call them, they can say no. So don't call, just show up. So we waited till the bitter end, heading into winter. It was the start of November. We went to this teeny tiny port in Venice that we heard takes foreign boats for the winter, mm-hmm. if you're lucky. Right. Having no backup plan, we entered. And so I told the gentleman that we were looking for a place for a few nights or maybe the whole winter. So he nearly fell over, but they took us in. We grew on them, and it became a family there. Really, all the old retired guys spent all their time in their sailing club, and they really took us under their wings. And during that time, I became really close friends with one couple, and they taught me how to make fresh pasta, and they gave me a pasta machine for my birthday, and that was where it all started. Sort and once you have fresh pasta, Now look at me. Can't go back. And even if I didn't keep Prontissimo going, we decided we'd have to bring one of the machines to our basement and supply the family. So that's how it all started. Perfect. And we decided to live here. Got here and I had grown up on Quadra Island and really pretty much lived away for almost 17 years. And when I got here and realized how foodie it was, I was so excited and. Mm. And it just seemed like the perfect fit, and nobody at the time at all was doing fresh pasta. Right.
So how long ago was that then?
Well, it would have been, I suppose it was 2006 that I got into making fresh pasta for a bakery.
Right.
And we parted ways after a year. I decided I could make a go of it with fresh pasta, and they didn't think there was a market for it.
Right.
So that it was amicable, and I said, well, I'm going to give it a go. And within a day or two, I heard about somebody selling fresh pasta equipment in the town. So next thing I knew, I was buying fresh pasta or pasta machines, commercial pasta machines. And I managed to get my my laundry room all renovated and turned into a food safe kitchen. And that's where I started. And wow. That would have been probably 2007 that we started from the house. And then we just kept growing.
Right.
But at the same time, decided to start a family. So the two things are hard to do at the same time.
Yeah. So then you opened a storefront.
Yeah. So the storefront opened, I should know this, 2003. See, I have mom brain. I think we opened it in 2010.
That's
so I think it was 3 years at home.
Right.
And the idea was sort of like a natural pastures idea to have a production space and that be the main reason we're there.
Right.
But since we're there, why not have an outlet shop?
Yeah, sure.
And then the shop sort of grew into a dream of mine to be a one-stop shop. So I didn't want people to have to come in and get fresh pasta and sauce and then have to go somewhere else for the Parmesan and the olive oil and whatever else. So I got really excited and I started selling all kinds of local products, different meats and fish and natural pastures, cheese and things like that, which was fantastic and fun, but started to take up a lot of time and ordering and all that kind of stuff. So we might get back to that someday, but for now, this partnership, like we said, the seafood and the pasta together, it feels like plenty.
Right.
And then we'll be selling also nice olive oil and Parmesan. So you've got your basics.
Your basics. Right.
We're streamlining and so the shop's been going almost 3 years and with this little break in it, and we're gonna be opening this Saturday.
this Saturday, which is really quick. So things sort of just fall into place for you.
Yeah, I think we when did we first chat?
I'm hanging on. This is great. I'm on the wave.
We first chatted on Thursday last week.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Yeah, having so last Wednesday we had no idea that we were going to be doing this. Yeah. It's the perfect fit. Yeah.
Well, and it worked out perfect because you were just leaving the restaurant the other night there. And I just happened to say, what are you doing on Monday night? And you're like, Mike, perfect. Let's do a
chance
podcast.
To get
let's
out
talk
of
about it.
Dinner, the witching hour and bedtime.
And this podcast comes out Saturday morning. So
perfect.
You get to hear
awesome.
About the Saturday morning. So
great.
Yeah.
Great.
It'd be excellent. So with you opening up again, are you going to have all the same arrangement of pastas as before, or are you going to sort of streamline that a little bit?
It's going to be a little more streamlined. I suppose it's my chance to learn from the past a little bit. So I might disappoint a few people, but I'm going to move away from small. I always did a small pesto and a small bag of pasta, so sort of enough for two people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a whole bunch of reasons, cost, environmentally, it's sort of a little bit more tedious. So we figure, you know, we can sell the large bag, which is double the small. And if people don't want to eat it all at once, they don't have to. It's good in your fridge for usually 10 days to 2 weeks from when you get it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they can either freeze half or cook the other half a few nights later. And right. And then we'll have the large pesto to match. And same thing, it stays excellent in the freezer, so you can put a knife under hot water, cut out a chunk of pesto that you want, and then keep it, you know, at its optimum, where it's good in your fridge for a week.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest change. And then there won't be quite as big a choice of pasta.
Right.
We'll always have some flavors and we'll always have the traditional, but another thing I can get carried away is creativity, and I just want to kind of streamline it and stick to some key flavors that I know are really popular. Mm-hmm. And there's
easy
always room.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to, I still need to put my family first. So.
Yeah. Right. Well, and what are some of the flavors you're kind of proud of that have kind of stick out there for?
Well, the citrus black pepper has been a winner from the start. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
a popular mm-hmm. one.
We were just actually talking about that on the restaurant the other day. So I'm like, so if I was to bring in some pastas, what would you like? And that was the first thing
that
out of
first
everyone's
came.
Mouth. Yeah,
yeah, so. It's definitely a number one seller. Another one that I'm really proud of that I was with my brainchild is chipotle lime.
Mm. Yeah.
So we put real chipotle peppers in and fresh lime zest. And that's been a hit. And then that goes with our artichoke roasted garlic pesto.
Right.
And shrimp.
Yeah.
It's pretty much to die for. So yeah, I'm really proud of that. And then we do the spinach, which is really nice. It's got real spinach in. A lot of the fresh pasta companies, say in Victoria and Vancouver, they use dehydrated spinach powder.
Mm, right.
So I'm quite proud that when you buy your flavor of pasta with Prontissima, it's got the real ingredient in it. It's mm-hmm. not, it's not dehydrated. It's not, you know, it's not artificial. It's the real deal. So your kids eat pasta shells that are spinach. They're getting real spinach in there.
Right.
Yeah. And then the carrot and dill is really popular too. It's lovely with seafood or salmon.
Oh, yeah.
Salmon and
carrots and crab.
Yeah. And you can get that at Locals any night of the week.
That's right.
That they're open.
Yes.
Yeah. They do a nice seafood medley with that carrot and dill pasta.
Nice.
Linguine.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. What other restaurants in town are serving
Prontissima? The Kingfisher, they're serving it. And Fluid has just come on board. So they've got a new chef and they're in the middle of working out their menu.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not on their main menu right now, but we're on their dessert menu. We've got, they're doing chocolate pasta cannelloni. So,
oh, wow.
So I do them up chocolate pasta sheets, and then they're doing a cannelloni, a dessert cannelloni.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, they will be using us on their fresh sheet soon, as soon as they have time to, as you know, probably Jonathan, how that
yes.
the time thing works for sitting down and actually having time to create.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting because they've never been with us before.
Perfect.
And the chef seems like he's really, really into local food and Brandon, the owner, is really excited. So
excellent.
This looks like a good place to look out for. Mm-hmm. And then the Royal Coachman up in Campbell River has been with us from way back in the beginning too.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And so they carry it on their menu.
Right. And you were also selling at the farmer's market, correct?
Yeah. So farmer's market's been fantastic, and that's really the way I launched myself, because it's amazing publicity and you have so many people coming by your stand in 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big drain on the family, right, taking up part of the weekend and all of that. So I'm not, at this point, we're not going to go back to the market yet. We might at some stage, and if they'll have us. But it's wonderful. We love the market. We have so many great friends out of there, and mm-hmm. we're big believers in it.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, we're going to just stick to wholesale and then just the retail at our shop. But we will be wholesaling to Seeds Market, food market, natural food market in Cumberland. And it looks like probably Edible Island, who's always been a fantastic partner with us, that they're keen to have us back too.
Excellent.
So
we'll start seeing
bit by
slowly.
Bit. Yeah, we'll get out there, but you know, one step at a time, and keeping my focus on family.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, Julie, we should get into a bit about the seafood that's going to be showing up here at in the Tin Town shop.
Well, the crab is the first off the mark, and you've seen it. It's steamed and it's frozen, so it's really ready for someone to take home and cook in the way that they like. And it's great to put into a curry sauce and onto any plate, for even snacks at a game or something like that. If you get a whole case lot, you've got 20 half crab or 22 half crab, something like that. So that's sort of fun. And we also have some shrimp, not a lot. Shrimp, for to be a sustainable fishery, has to have a lot of regulations. And so we're following all of those, of course, for the crab, the shrimp, and the salmon. And we follow the seasons. So because it's wild, it's always following seasons. Oh, and yeah. So the shrimp that we do have are called humpback, but they also go by the name king. They're about the size of a side stripe, and they're great as just leave the shell on and cook them right in the spices or the sauce that you have. That's a great way to serve them, because I think they're most similar. I think they have more flavor, but they're most similar to what you would get down in New Orleans or somewhere, because they're quite a unique shrimp to that Central Coast area.
Mm-hmm.
And side stripe are really sweet and softer shrimp, but they're larger than a pink shrimp, so they're also abundant in that area. So there's the third kind is the most abundant is pink shrimp, and pink shrimp usually has to be hand peeled. So I'm thinking about marketing it as a whole cook that people take home and peel it themselves. Okay. And then you can make a bisque out of the head and gut, and it's a nice product.
The best. Mm-hmm. I cringe every time I see people throw pond shells away. Yeah. I'm like, that's the best part, right?
The flavors.
Roast them off in the oven for a little bit and then boil them up and just get all that flavor and that stock. So yeah, it's beautiful. So.
Yeah. As they say in New Orleans.
Yeah.
More butter. More pepper. When you think you got enough, add some more pepper.
Yeah, a little bit more,
So and the salmon is we're in the area in the Central Coast with the big summer chums. They come like 14, 15 pounds. Mm. So we fillet those, and they're great to be smoked or dried or you know, I really like baking them. And my favorite is the skin. So if you take them and put them in a hard pan fry, you can put something like a spice in the pan and just hard fry them, and it's like eating a nice oily chip kind of flavor. They're really quite good. And the kita or chum is great for the family because the bones are out. And they're large, so you can feed a side of salmon can feed like four people. So
they certainly are a big fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like. I've actually used chum to. I've smoked it and I've made jerky out of it too.
Great.
It works out really good.
Yeah.
Just brine it for overnight with soy sauce and sugar and this and that, and then I throw it in my dehydrator.
Yeah.
And it comes out chewy and
Yeah. The Central Coast chums are very fatty as opposed to the ones that are going up the rivers here now. And these are caught in the middle of the summer, so they're really silver.
Right.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice.
Oh, beautiful.
Fish. Yeah.
Excellent. So you've got a wide range of seafood that you're going to be bringing in.
Yes, definitely. And I think they'll all be here on Saturday. They're on their ways now, coming from various different ports.
Yeah. And is so this fish plant in Bella Bella is a First Nations enterprise?
Yes, it is. Bella Bella is a First Nations community, and they hadn't worked this plant for a few years. And so the renovation that we did in last year opened it up again, and it has a full registration for international sales and freezing. And so we also put a steamer in there, a very large steamer that we bought in New Orleans, actually, that that can cook shrimp or crab or anything, actually, with a conveyor belt system and a computerized system. That is the sort of the heartbeat of the operation. But since we've opened, we've done sea cucumbers, and we're looking at doing sea urchins and various different products, dye fisheries up there. It's a really abundant area, so that we'll probably gradually introduce all of those. And sea cucumbers are just fabulous food. Mm.
I have eaten sea cucumber,
just
it's good.
Wonderful food, and great, like a clam sort of flavor, and they're great in pasta too.
Nice.
Yeah. Everything goes with pasta, right?
Pasta is I know Blaine's not a big pasta guy right now, but he's on the paleo diet, so he's sticking to proteins, but I will never give up on my pasta.
Yeah. When we have eggs in our pasta, it actually does make a difference.
Yeah.
I think even for the digestion, it's people who say they get bloated from other pastas say when they eat ours, they don't.
Well, I always eat your pasta and I'm bloated afterwards, and that's usually because I eat too much. So I'm like, I can eat all that. Nice. So Bella Bella is a huge fishing community.
Yes, it has been. 10,000 years of fishing there, and right now they're clam digging, and so tonight there's 18,000 pounds of clams coming to the shore. And every week this time of year, that's what's going on. And actually, that's where the name Nusi and the symbol for the moon came. Because when you look at the beaches, they're really abundant with clams and shine in the moonlight. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And they go out and dig by the light of the moon in the right tide. So
that's
been our focus and our energy around the branding and the concept of it. It really is a pristine area. Obviously, there's very few people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And in this community, 85% of the people there were unemployed. And so this has brought 120 people to work this year.
Yeah, wow.
So it's pretty important. Also, they need their market outside. We'd like to do the 100-mile diet, but there's not enough people to eat all the fish that we're finding.
No.
And it's also opened the area up for some fishermen that haven't been able to produce in that region. There you have to be fairly close to an area, and it takes about 40 hours to get up to Prince Rupert, or 25 hours to Port Hardy from there. So as a result, the goose bank's been kind of vacant of the local harvesters. They haven't had an ability to go out and harvest.
Right.
And the goose bank really has a unique crab. It's it's sandblasted. It's got a really wild current in there, the Hecate Straits. And so I think that the fishing that's really fun in the summer, that I talk to the fishermen when they come in off the goose bank, and it's pretty wild out there.
Yeah.
So
I know I crossed Hecate Strait from Haida Gwaii a couple summers ago.
Right.
And it was wild in the ferry, and it was just, it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys go out in this, and it's they come in sometimes, and it, you know, it's a beautiful sunny day on shore, and they say, oh, it was crazy out there.
Yeah.
I remember crossing Hecate Strait when I was working on the charter boat, and us in this 92-foot sailboat, which isn't a small sailboat, cruising across and seeing the cruise ship going, and you know, the cruise ship would disappear every second wave.
Wow.
And we're kind of looking at the thing back. Oh, imagine that. Just suck to be on that cruise ship. You miss all the beauty of this area. And I'm thinking, they're probably sitting there on that cruise ship going, look at those poor guys in that boat.
Yeah. That little tiny boat.
Yeah, the little toy boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's extreme tides there. The tidal flow there is crazy. So the waves are just compounded on each other. So.
Yeah.
And the open Pacific too.
Yeah, everything sort of hits.
Then there's
that.
Yeah. Fill that in.
Yeah. But it is very, there's not a lot up there. Like I know it used to be 50 years ago, a lot of canning and fishing up there that's closed down, and there's so many ghost towns up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And it's really, you know, we've actually hired some elders at the plant, and they talk about the good old days, you know, and they remember it. Well, mm-hmm. their children and their grandchildren have suffered from a lack of work. And so it's exciting to see everybody back doing what they'd been doing for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, not canning necessarily, because canning is a whole other energy, but just cutting fish, it's really natural.
Right.
And mm-hmm. up there, the seaweed harvest is still really happening in the spring. And that's another food that I'd love to bring to the valley. Yeah. There's a lot of seaweed drying up there.
You know what? And that really interests me, because that's something that really hasn't been tapped. And yeah. I know from my time on the boat working, I mean, I brought in bull kelp chutney and, you know, just wrapping salmon or halibut, you know, in the fronds from it. It would just, I mean, it just gave such a nice flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It added the salt, and it just kept all that flavor and juice inside all your fish. So it's such a resource that I think we haven't really tapped on, or a lot of people are scared of, other than doing nori rolls for sushi and that. So
that's going to be something I'm going to be foraging for in the spring too. Yeah. Add to my list of things to eat around here that I can get wild.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely an interesting product. So
yeah,
absolutely. Gathered and eaten there all the time. It's every dish practically has seaweed on it.
Yeah.
So it's really great. It's good for you.
Yeah.
You'd like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Probably work it into pasta easily.
Yeah,
too.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. Boil your pasta with some chunks of seaweed in the water. Yeah.
The wheels are turning.
Yeah.
For sure.
Very good. Okay. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up. So,
yes,
you guys are. Sorry, John, to interrupt.
I was just going
to
say thank you very much for coming in and chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. And I guess the main thing is, we hope to see people come up and support Tin Town on Saturday. It's from 11 till 6 is when we're open. I think actually everybody's starting at 10 to 6. 10 till 6.
10 till 6.
No, sorry. Yeah. 10 till 5.
10 till 5.
Yeah, so all the artist studios will be open. And they're open to the public, and there'll be markers and maps, and everyone can visit. Mm. There's a music school up there and a dance school, and they'll be singing and caroling, and the coffee shop is up there too.
Right.
So yeah, we get to be a part of it. I thought we weren't going to this year, and here we are. We're going to be there, and we're sampling fresh pasta and pesto, free samples, and then steamed crab legs with garlic and lemon butters.
You bet.
Wow.
So come see
very
us.
Nice.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might have to skip out of work. I think I'm sick. No. Yeah.
And do you guys have web presence, websites, social media where people can?
At the moment, check out the Prontissima Pasta Facebook page. We're going to be getting Call of the Wild Market on there as well, but it is the page for both of us at the moment.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Prontissima Pasta website is live and going, as it always has been. Needs some editing, because there are some changes in terms of where you can find our pasta and things. But
and we'll be tweeting soon.
Yes, apparently I'm going to become a tweeter.
Yeah, yeah.
So excellent.
We'll be following.
Yeah, and then you, Nusi, as far as learning more about the product and where it's coming from.
NusiSeafood.com is up and operating, and you can look at our seafood on there, and there's a lot of recipes on there as well.
Excellent.
And just the sense of the crab, you know, this perfect little crabs, there's a bunch of pictures of that on there.
And there's a blowout sale.
Yes.
At a 9-pound case.
9-pound case for $79 on Saturday.
Of the half.
And that's
half crab.
That's about 22 half crab. So that's a very good deal.
Mm-hmm.
I've got warehouses full.
So for New Year's Eve and Christmas, come and get it.
Yeah, wonderful.
I think I can make an excuse to go down there for work now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and both of us are, well, as you know, I'm involved with restaurants, but we want to bring Julie into the restaurant community here because she's been away so much. But we both have wholesale prices for chefs. So
perfect.
We want to get it out there and get it to the restaurants and help them eat local.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Absolutely.
Great.
Thanks, right. You guys.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this was fun. Thanks.
Okay, so, John, we have our contest December.
That's right. So we've got, like our Facebook page, and I've got a gift certificate for $25 to the Atlas Cafe. So we're basically, people can like the site, and we're going to put those names into a hat, draw a name out, and that person will get that gift certificate, yeah. And we'll have to find a way of getting it to you. So
yes. If you're local, it'll be easier. If you're not local, well, I guess there's the post.
That's right. Yeah. So we'll be in contact with the winner of that, but that won't be till the end of the year. So
yeah, that'll be our first show into January. We'll
announce the winner of that. Yeah. And then hopefully we'll have another prize for the following month, just to encourage some listeners and get some people interested in our Edible Valley. So
yeah.
Well, we have gift certificates, so you can, we're happy to donate.
Maybe we'll be getting a
draw.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
A January gift certificate there. So.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic.
Excellent.
Thank you for the offer.
No problem. If we have any left.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Edible Valley welcomes Hans-Peter Meyer to the studio again for his monthly contribution to let us know what's happening in local food events. Welcome, Hans.
A little rundown of what's going on in town. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me. There's a lot going on in December. We just finished the first annual Delicious Downtown Courtney, and the focus on that was oysters, bacon, and chocolate. I think you guys had a number of restaurants had fresh sheets around there. I think you guys at Atlas did, Jonathan. And
yeah, we had it was a little bit of last minute. Sandra's like, oh, by the way, you're doing chocolate, oysters, and bacon. And all of a sudden this picture came to my head, and I'm like, that doesn't work. But then when we sat down and broke it down, and it works perfect with our fresh sheet. So we had a nice bacon appetizer. We did oyster appetizer. So we did some breaded Fanny Bay oysters, and then what else did we do? Oh, we did a little bacon with some pork tenderloins, and yeah, it just all came together, and we went crazy on the desserts. I think we had 6 or 7 different chocolate desserts, chocolate torte, chocolate cake, everything, mousse, wow. Terrine, so we went out.
It sounds like a weekend at my house, oysters, bacon, and chocolate.
Well, it was downtown this weekend, so it was a lot of fun.
And it's the first annual, so I'm really looking forward to what happens the next time around. Like it's something like some of these things they need to take a while to pick up, and then people go, "Wow, what a great idea!" Which ties in really well with a promotion that we're working on. You know, our local food hero promotion, Vancouver Island Local Food Heroes. We've been asking people the last couple of months to talk about that, and this month we're asking people to talk about festive local. So festive foods, local food heroes. You know, maybe it's how you prepare your bacon from Tannadice Farms. Maybe it's what your favorite chef does with the oysters that come out of the Bain Sound area. I don't know. There's all kinds of possibilities for Festive Local. The sponsors this month are Darkside Chocolates and Courtney VQA Store. There's more information online, and you can get that at the Edible Valley. I'll send you guys links.
That'd Sweet. Be awesome.
Thank you.
All through this month, there's a number of tastings happening. 40 Knots Winery at the Little River area, and apparently they grow all of their grapes locally, which is pretty amazing. I had a Pinot Noir at the Avenue, one big table event that was quite nice. So they're having tastings every weekend, 12 to 5 through December. They've also got a bit of a gift shop. Cascadia Liquor up on the top of the hill is hosting like tons of really interesting looking tastings all through the month. There's too many to list here. Just you have to drop by or give them a call.
I've heard they have a really wild selection of different products in there.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I haven't been there yet. And
have you been, John?
What's that?
The Cascadia?
The Cascadia? No, I can't say I have actually. Yeah. Definitely, I'll put that on my list of places to check out.
It's kind of frustrating for me that you can't see what's happening online.
Right.
You know, like so. Anyway, but it is a big liquor store. I've heard good things about it, and they're doing lots of great tastings. Then there's a bunch of fundraiser kind of things happening on December 8th. Chef Catherine Berg at the Black Creek Diner. Working with Ralph Spodzaje from Willow Point, the baker there, are hosting a family dinner at the diner as a fundraiser for Yana. On the 14th, it's
Food, Shelter, Music. That's Cumberland's annual musical fundraiser for the local emergency shelters. That's Lily House Transition Society and the Salvation Army. I've heard really good things about that event. Lots of great music, lots of great food. Then we get into the seasonal stuff. We've got the dinner with or breakfast with Santa at the Timber Room Restaurant at Crown Isle. Crown Isle also has dinners on Christmas Day, and they've got a 3- and 4-course a New Year's Eve menu and a New Year's brunch. On just down the road from the Waverly, where the Food and Shelter Music event happens, is the Gatehouse Bistro is hosting a 7-course Danish Christmas dinner. Now, on December 21st, and Danish food is the specialty of the house, so I think that will be
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah, that old Danish European style.
Yeah.
And Christmas Eve and Christmas Day dinners are also happening at the Breakwater Restaurant, where new executive chef Philippe Gagné is in the kitchen now, and he's going to be hosting a gourmet seafood buffet on New Year's Eve there. Downtown, Union Street Grill will be hosting a candlelight New Year's Eve dinner. That's the third in their candlelight series, and I know you were there last time, Blaine. I had a really good time, and it was really quite beautiful.
It was. It was a really great atmosphere in there. I liked that a lot.
And then on the other side of downtown, Locals has New Year's Eve is a really big night at Locals Restaurant. And I just want to say that Chef Ronald from Locals will be part of a wine panel that we're going to be launching in January. He'll be joined by Avenue Bistro and Atlas Cafe sommelier Connie Earle and Crown Isle's Director of Operations and longtime wine guy Gregor Mowat on this panel. So we'll be tasting, I'll be having them taste a number of different wines, talking about that. And some of that will be video. It'll be out in print as well.
Wow, cool. Sounds interesting. Nice. Yeah.
And then, so finally, again, back to New Year's Eve, Atlas and Avenue, both of which are regularly closed on Monday nights, are going to be offering a special 3-course menu for that night. Do you have any idea what you're preparing?
Well, you know what? It's still under wraps right at the moment. We're actually, I've been sitting down with my new cook, Christopher Thrift, who comes to us from actually was at Prime, and he opened up the Flying Canoe.
Oh.
So we've been sort of toying with a couple ideas, and we'll do a sort of a 3-course dinner set menu, be a couple appetizers, couple entrees, and a couple different desserts that you wouldn't normally get at the Atlas. Okay. So it should be a bit of a fun. We like to go out a little bit and put a little extra twist on the food and spice it up a little bit. So it should be fun. We're looking forward to it.
Do you guys normally do a Christmas Eve thing? Or I mean New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve, yeah. We've actually done it every year. Mm-hmm. It sort of changes. We kind of try and suit it more to what people are looking for. So we started out, it was, I think the first year I did it, we did like a 7-course dinner. And it was a nightmare just because we had that much food that had to be cooked and prepared. Right. And just being able to prepare it was a nightmare, especially in that little kitchen.
But well, I was going to say, it's amazing what you guys do in that little kitchen. That is, if anybody hasn't peeked around the corner at the Atlas Kitchen, magic happens there, but it's magic in a very small space.
Very close space. Yeah. We're very close kitchens, so we know each other quite well. So.
Okay, well, I don't know. That's it for me. So lots of stuff going on. And again, like a lot of it happening at Christmas, New Year's. But tastings all through the month.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's Christmas season, right? So there's parties going on everywhere. And I know most kitchens are kind of wrapped up and you know, at their full peak potential right now. So I know a lot of catering events going on around town and just Christmas parties in general. We're noticing the big tables starting to come in. So there may be some waits at the restaurants, but I promise it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for having me, you guys.
Well, thanks, thank Hans, you very
for coming
much.
In. Now we have some stuff to talk about. And
oh, I forgot to mention.
Yes.
The big news for me, because I love pasta and she's in my neighborhood, is that Sarah Walsh is reopening Prontissima Pasta. And I believe you guys are talking to her.
We'll be talking to her, yes, right after we're done talking to you.
Right on. Well, I'm really happy about that. So that this Saturday, she's going to be doing something with crab at her Tin Town shop, and that is big news for me.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Right. We'll talk to Sarah a bit more about the event down in Tin Town because it's a big art event, I believe, and mm-hmm. you got to check out Tin Town and see who's down there and what they're doing. So, and she'll have some crab and some pasta tasting. So,
yeah, great.
Good stuff. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website, ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed, at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you'd like to hear on the show. Don't hesitate to send along cooking questions for John to answer on the show or pick our brains about other local food information, ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.